By way of introduction, we've been studying now, and it's been a series of mitzvot spanya onam lechaveru. Now the Torah and Chazal have divided up the mitzvahs of the Torah into two distinct categories. There's bein onam lechaveru, bein onam lemakom. We've been focusing our attention on bein onam lechaveru. And when I ask, very often we could pick a mitzvah out of the bag and ask for an intuitive response to the question, well, how would you classify it? Is it bein onam lemakom, bein onam lechaveru? In the case of tefillah, of prayer, how would you instinctually classify tefillah? Would you say it's bein onam lemakom or bein onam lechaveru? Bein onam lemakom, right?
It's both.
Oh. So that's what I want to really study with you tonight. Is it possible that it's both?
I'm trying to pull together a meaning that people care about each other.
Correct. That the communal minyanim. But what I'd like to try to do, this is a tall order for me tonight. I want to go through all the mitzvahs bein onam lechaveru, each one individually, one by one, that we've been speaking about now for a long time, and see if I can prove, as I say, this is a tall order, that each one has tefillah as an essential part of the mitzvah. To the extent to which that if you do the mitzvah bein onam lechaveru and you haven't added a dimension of tefillah in it, then you haven't fulfilled your obligation. Tefillah is part and parcel of the obligation. Let's see if we can go through. We'll start with Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Hanichnas levaker asachole." A person comes in to fulfill the mitzvah of biker cholim. Rabbi Yossi says he has to say, "Hamakom yirachim alecha besoch shar chole Yisrael." He has to recite a formula which we're familiar with. In what context, if you just change one word? In Nichum Avelim, right? When you go to comfort the bereaved, so you say, HaMokim Yenachem Estem Soch, Shara Avelim. Here we have it with regard to a chole. And we're asking for divine compassion, B'toch Chole Yisrael. Rashi says, why? B'toch Chole Yisrael, B'toch Shekololam Im Acherim Tfilos Nishmas B'zchus Shel Rab. But clearly Rashi identifies this obligation, which was formulated by Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara Shabbos, as tefillah. And the tefillah is that much more powerful and effective if it's a tefillah not for an individual, but for the individual as part of a community. A tefillah, a prayer for a community, is that much more effective. Again, the Chazal were aware of all sorts of nuances that are in the laws of prayer. And one of them is that the tefillah should be on behalf of not just an individual, but the individual as part of the community. The Gemara establishes in the Masechta Brachos, Amar Abaye as a general rule in tefillah, Li'olam l'shateif inish nafshei bahade tzibura. A person should always include himself in the tzibur, in the community. Rashi says, Al yispalel tefillah k'tzara v'loshin yachid. He should not pray a prayer in the grammatical singular. He should always employ the plural. Mitoch kach tfilos nishmas, by including himself within the community, his prayer is much more effective. So we see something very fundamental with regard to tefillah, and that is that an individual should always pray in the plural, b'loshen rabim, and that will add efficacy to his prayer. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik authored a very famous essay called The Community. I have it in its original form here on my desk in English, but it's been translated into Hebrew. And in this essay called The Kehillah, The Community, the Rav says that the halacha doesn't tolerate prayers in Lashon Yachid. We don't find a single prayer that's formulated in the singular. All our prayers are always formulated in the plural. Even when we're praying on behalf of an individual, a person who's sick, or an ovel, who's in mourning, nevertheless those tefillos are likewise formulated in the plural. And all the tzrachim that a person needs, he should never limit to one individual or to himself. And in another essay by the Rav called Kol Dodi Dofek, it's a very famous essay, the Rav says that this was Job's mistake. Eov was guilty of the following mistake. He didn't know how to pray in the plural. And therefore, God asks him through the chaverim, hateda iov shatfila he nachlas haklal. Don't you realize that prayer belongs to the klal, and that the yochid doesn't come in front of the king to petition on behalf of himself, but rather on behalf of the entire community? Did you forget that Jewish prayer is formulated in the plural? Don't you realize that the matbea of tefillah that's established by our people is always in the plural? We don't pray in the singular. And one could present the following thesis, that this halacha is not connected to the after l'rech kamocha, but rather it's a halacha nilchus tefillah. Right? Chazal have a long list of regulations that apply to tefillah, and maybe this is just one of them. For example, you're not allowed to ask in Aramaic. And Rabbi Yochanan adds that if a person asks, he petitions God in Aramaic, then he's not going to get any help from the heavenly courts. So one could say that I have to pray in Lashon Rabbim for the same reason, because that's what prayer needs in order to be effective. But what I'd like to suggest is that there's another dimension to this halacha. That the obligation is to pray for someone else. And if that means that he has a friend who's in need, he has to pray on behalf of his friend. If it means that the community in general has a need, then he's got to find within him a mitzvah of chesed and avos Yisrael to pray on behalf of the entire tzibur. And that even though we generally make this distinction fundamentally between Beit Adam Lamok and Beit Adam Chavero, and we would therefore intuitively classify tefillah, which is derived from the pasuk Avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem, one should serve his God, and the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah that Ezi Avoda, what does it mean to serve Hashem? It means tefillah, and therefore this should be classified as Bein Adam Lamakom, it's an Avoda. I say that that's only half the picture. And in truth, our obligation to pray is not just an obligation vis-a-vis God, meaning Bein Adam L'Makom. It doesn't exhaust itself in that. But there's also an element of Bein Adam L'Chaver. It means that the mitzvah V'yahavta L'Rech Kamocha of loving your fellow Jew engenders a chiyuv tefillah. We have two sources in the Torah, two different mitzvahs of tefillah. One is V'yavadetem es Hashem Elokeichem, and the other is V'yahavta L'Rech Kamocha. We have to be concerned about the good of our friends, of our fellow Jew. And we have to realize that in order to do so, we have to not only take care of their needs in a physical sense, we also have to pray on their behalf. That's also included under the V'ahavta L'rech Kamocha. Tefillah is an essential part of the mitzvah of the V'ahavta L'rech Kamocha. The V'ahavta L'rech Kamocha includes not just tending to one's physical needs, to his friend's physical needs, but also the act of prayer. And the reason for that is because mitzvahs avas Yisrael, the mitzvah of loving a Jew, and here we're quoting the Sefer HaChinuch, shen nachmol, we should have chemla, means compassion for a Jew, valmamono, and for his possessions. Just like a person has compassion for his own possessions, himself and his own possessions, so a person prays for himself, so too he should pray for his fellow Jew. And therefore, if you take a look on page Mem Zayin, on the left, which you'll find on the other side of the page, we want to mention the words of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Avel, Perek Yudalid, establishes that there's a positive command to be mavaker chole, to visit the sick, lenachem avelin, lahotzi es hames, right, to take the dead and out for burial, and to bring the kala to the wedding. Okay, we're going to have a mitzvah of Hachnosis Kala. Levayas Ha'orchim, and to escort the guests. L'sameach Chosim V'Kala, not just to escort the Kala, but also to dance in front of the Chosim and the Kala. U'l'sadov, and to try to help them with all their needs. V'chol Elu G'milus Chasodim, all this is included under G'milus Chasodim. And the Rambam says if it's in G'milus Chasodim, it's included under the V'Ahavta L'Rech Kamocha. Whatever you'd want others to do to you, you do to others. So let's go through the list of the Rambam as he defines the physical actions that we have to do in order to fulfill chesed. One by one, following the list of the Rambam. we start with Bikur Cholim, which is first on the list, to visit the sick. The Gemara says in Darim, Kol HaMavaker HaSacholim Mavakesh Olav Rachamim. It's not enough to visit the sick and tend to the sick's needs. You know, sometimes you visit a person, they're in a hospital, and the nurses are not really paying any attention to them, even though they have that button to call the nurse. So what you do is you bring over a nurse. Well, for example, if someone is in their home, sick in bed, and no one's tending to their needs, the place is all full of dust, and you can clean it out. That's a tremendous mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. But now, the Gemara adds another dimension to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, and that is to be Mavakesh Olav Rachamim. And Rabban writes, in his famous, he authored a famous work about Chesed called Torah Sa'odom, and he writes that Ikar Mitzvah Shel Bikur Cholim Ushayasalo Tzrachov. He has three different parts that make up the Ikar Mitzvah, the primary mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. First is to tend to his needs, meaning to nurse him back to health. Number two, V'yimza Nachas Ruach Im Chavero. His friend is psychologically uplifted. You know, you in a sense remove part of the burden on his chest by coming to visit him. Somebody cares about me. And number three, says the Rabban, the Avakesh Olav Racham. And this, look at the language of the Rabban. He goes very far. He says, he has to clean the place. Hilkop, says the Ramban, could you imagine? The Rambam establishes that Bakoshas Rachmim on behalf of the Chola is an integral, essential part of the mitzvah. Without it, you haven't really fulfilled the mitzvah.
So that dominating for him while you're there with him?
What'd you say?
Not davening for him while you're there with him?
Oh, no. So that's a good question.
I'm not sure, Aaron, if the best time and the best moment to daven for the cholim is right there in front of him. You know what I'm saying? Like you're going to scare the socks off him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but certainly at some point or other. In fact, Chazal say that's why it's not enough to send a shliach, you know, to visit the sick or to call him up by phone. You have to personally go and see him, because if you see what bad straits he's in, it's complicated, because on the one hand, we don't visit the sick in the late hours of the night for two reasons. One, first, we don't want to disturb him, and secondly, because we don't want to see him when he's in his worst shape. You know, sometimes a sick person in the morning, in the early wee hours of the morning, he's strongest. So you don't want to visit him then, because if you visit him then, you think there's nothing so terrible wrong, and you won't be Mavakesh Rachamim, you won't be Mispal. If you see him at night, you'll think, oh no, this guy's a goner. It's no point to prayer, it's a tefillah shav. But the bottom line is that tefillah is supposed to be engendered by your feeling of compassion when you see the chola, literally seeing him. I don't know about Skype, you know, that's already a different question. But to see what straits he's in and how he's suffering. And the post can say, if they don't let you inside, then you should speak to the doctors or the nurses to find out what's going on with the person, and then go out and daven.
So then, what does it mean by Yivakesh Olav Rachamim? It's not davening in front of him.
Yivakesh Olav, to beseech God on his behalf for compassion. So again, the Ramban, I just want to reemphasize this, because I'm absolutely amazed by this. The Ramban is saying that if you're missing this element of the three dimensions of Bikur Cholim, namely the element of tefillah, then you forfeit the mitzvah. At least, probably the Ramban means you don't get the whole, you know, kit and caboodle. You get part of the mitzvah, but you're missing an essential piece of the puzzle. So you see that the Ramah, by the way, in Shulchan Aruch Yerodeh Siman Shin Lamed Hey, that's the siman that's dedicated to Bikur Cholim. He paskins like the Ramban. He says, "Kol hamavakir v'lo bikesh olav rachim lo kiyam mitzvah." So you might say this is the Ramban's own chiddush, but the Ramah codifies this in Halach for all generations. And I want to study with you the Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein says in Yerodeh Chelik Aleph Siman Reish Chav Gimel regarding Bikur Cholim al ha-telephone, He says, Poshel Adias Taiti Sha'af Shemakayim Mitzvah the Bikur Cholim. He does get part of the Mitzvah of Bikur Cholim when he calls his friend on the phone to wish him well. But nevertheless, he says, you can't really say that he fulfilled his obligation. You know, you can't get the easy way out and just call a guy on the phone. He says, "Bishvil atam sheyimtza nachas ruach b'zeh." You know, you might argue, well, I called him on the phone and he realized that I care about him. I sent him an email. My thoughts and my mind is with him. He says, "Ein shayach zeh shelo b'fanav." You cannot fulfill your obligation if you don't come in front of him. Why? Shemeyari'iyah. Now we're turning to page memches. When he sees his friend face to face, misragish hamavakir yosef. He gets a more emotional feeling. Umevakesh biyoser tachnunim, and he'll have a deeper sense of prayer. Now, the second thing on the Rambam's list of chesed is nichum avelim. Is there any element of prayer in nichum avelim? I would have thought not. And I think intuitively, most people would say, if you ask the question, where's tefillah in nichum avelim? They'd say, what do you mean? Nichum avelim means to come and give him a sense of encouragement, identify with his grief, say a few words about the deceased, etc., etc. But take a look at the Gemara in Ksuvis on Daf Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says that there was a special bracha. Somehow it fell into disuse in our time. But back in the time of the Gemara, there was a special bracha called the Birchas Avelim that had to be recited on the first day of Avelus, the first day of mourning. And if there were new people who didn't hear the bracha, that's called Panim Chadashos, they would recite the bracha again and again and again throughout the 7 days of Avelus. Of course, they require a minyan for that bracha. The Avel himself is not part of the minyan. You have to have 10 people besides the person who's sitting Shiva. And the Shita Mekubetza says, you know why the Avel is not part of the minyan? It's because he is not a menachem, but rather a misnachem. In other words, what we're doing through this bracha is we're coming to comfort the bereaved. It doesn't make sense to incorporate the bereaved himself into the minyan of menachamim, of those who are comforting and giving him solace. So we see that the takan of Birchas Avelim, according to the Shita Mekubetzes, is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim, and the bracha is the bracha keneged ha'avelim lenachamim. And that bracha is the purpose of that bracha, the essence of that bracha, and its goal is to comfort the bereaved. So I don't understand. Why is there a bracha rishona? The first bracha is keneged shvacho shel makom. First we have to praise God. That's the first bracha. The Gemara explains over there. And the second bracha is keneged ha-menachamim. Notice that's the bracha of nichum avelim. So why do we have to start with an opening bracha, which is shevach, which is praise? By the way, where do we find in tefillah, in prayer, that we begin with praise? We don't just jump into petition. You know, God, I need this, God, I need that. Please bestow the following upon me or my friend. Correct. The structure Shmon Esrei requires that we start with shevach. The Gemara says we derive this from Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu in his prayer began with praise. Here too, apparently we cannot begin with prayer until we first begin with praise, with shevach. The mitzvah of being menachem the Ovel starts with the bracha of shevach. And then it continues with tefillah. What is the essence or the substance of that second bracha, which we call tefillah? In that bracha, we describe God as a menachem. Hashem is going to bring solace to those who grieve and mourn. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avel that the menachemim, even though we don't have the bracha today, but we do have the formulation of tenuchamu min hashamayim. You should be consoled from heaven. It would seem to me that the statement of you shall be or you should become consoled from heaven is an admission on our part that we as human beings don't have the ability to console the bereaved. We need to invoke the help of God, because He ultimately, with a capital H, is the Menachem. And therefore, all we're doing really is we're being mevakesh rachmei shamayim. We're asking Hashem to be menachem the avelim. And the Ashkenazic minog is hamakom yenachem eschem. The word makom is a reference to Almighty God. And once again, it's a tefillah. And it's formulated in the plural, as we said at the outset, that our prayers have to be formulated in the plural. We have to inject this avel, this particular individual avel, into the klal. And there we understand very well why the kickoff bracha is Shevach Shel Makom. Because whenever there's tefillah, we begin tefillah by being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch. And therefore, we see that in the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim, it's absolutely essential to ask Hashem for Rachmei Shamayim, that He, God, should be the Menachem. The next thing on the list I want to talk about is the mitzvah of Simchas Chosim Kala. Doesn't that mean dancing in front of the Kala? Dancing in front of the Chosim? And I'd like to suggest that it's much more than that. First of all, we have to understand that it's not just dancing in front of the Chosim Kala, it's also Lid'og Litzarcheyem. As we'll see in all the codes, you have to make sure, which we call the mitzvah Achnasas Kala, to make sure that the Kala has all that she needs. The Gemara says in Brachos, Igra Debehi Lule Mili, that the schar, the reward that's bestowed upon us, in a Behi Lule, which means in a Simchas Chosim Kala, are words. What is the nature of these words? The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rav Huna, Kol Hanene Misudas Chosim Yeno Misamcho. If a person enjoys the seuda, that lavish banquet that's offered at the Simcha Chosim Kala, and he's not Misamech Chosim Kala, he violates five kolos. Shenemar Kol Sason, Kol Simcha, Kol Chasan, Kol Kala, Kol Omrim Hodu Es Hashem Tzvakos. Five kolos. So this is a very strange thing. I mean, what it means he violates five kolos? Is there a deeper message here? So whenever I get stuck with a Gemara like that, I look into Marsha. If it's halacha, the Marsha very rarely helps him. But if it's an agadita, he's always there for me. In any event, the Marsha says the following. What does it mean that we're misameach the chasam v'kala mili with words? He says, "Lahazkir chazdei hamakom bebria lekiyum ha'olam." We should recite and sing the praises of the compassionate God who created this world and keeps it going. And then he should complete this praise with the words, "Kol omrim hodu es Hashem, shekolos hasimcha yu b'shvach hamakom." He says that the way that Chazal understand the kolos of simcha, what does it mean, kol simcha? It means shvach hamakom. It means to praise Almighty God. And therefore the takana of fulfilling the five kolos of simcha is the sheva brachos of chasan. What do we see from this marsha? The marsha says that kiyum simchas chosim kala is identical with dibur, and that dibur requires amiras shevach and odah, and he identifies the amiras shevach and odah with seven brachos. The sheva brachos that we recite at the conclusion of the wedding ceremony. However, Rashi says something slightly different. Rashi says in Ksuvas Daf Ches that it is the sixth bracha that ends with Mesameach Chason V'Kala, as opposed to the seventh bracha is Mesameach Chason Im HaKala. Says Rashi, what's the difference between the sixth and the seventh brachas? They sound awfully similar. Rashi says that the sixth bracha Mesameach Chason V'Kala Tfilahi. It's a prayer. Shemispalim U'mevarchim Shiyusmechim Batzlocha Kol Yameh. They are praying on behalf of the Chosim Kala, all those assembled there, that God should bestow upon them all of the joy and all of the success for the rest of their lives. In other words, we see from Rashi that Sheva Brachos is not just Shevach V'Odaya, it's also what? Bakosha and Tefillah. And therefore the Kiyum of Tefillah is that we pray on behalf of the success of this couple for all their days. from whence does Rashi derive this conclusion that there's a kiyum tefillah in the recitation of Birchas Chasanim? And perhaps we could suggest that Rashi believes that the source for Birchas Chasanim is the pasuk in Parshas Chayisara. The Torah says, "Vayivarchu es Rivka." You remember that Eliezer went to get Rivka from Beis Besuel, from Beis Lavan. And the Torah testifies that on their departure, when Eliezer is bringing Rivka back to marry Yitzchak, it says, "Vayivarchu es Rivka." They blessed Rivka. Rabbi Yochanan says that I have a different source for Birchas Chasanim, for these Sheva Brachos. Vayivarech Osam Elokim. God bestowed upon Adam and Chava a bracha. Pruru revu milu asaretz. Okay, in both these cases, the case of Rivka marrying Yitzchak and in the case of Adam and Chava, we're talking about a first marriage. How do we know that even in the case of Almana, we have to fulfill the mitzvah of Sheva Brachas? Even a woman who was already married previously is a second round for her. Shenemar, in the case of Rus, it says, Vayikach asor anoshim mizikne ha'ir. Boaz, at the time of his marriage to Rus, gathers together 10 zkenim. And the pasuk says, Vayomu kol av asher b'shar v'azkenim edim yitein Hashem es ha'isha ba el beischa kirachel ukalea. In Megillas Rus, these 10 zkenim raise a prayer to Hashem that He should bestow upon this woman, meaning Rus, that's coming into your house for us, she should be like Rachel and Leah. It would seem that what's going on here is that we're talking about tefillah. Just like we find in the case of Rivka, Vayivarchu es Rivka, what is a bracha? Rabosa, let me ask you a question. When I give a person a bracha, okay, the kohanim have to give brachas, that's a mitzvah incumbent upon kohen, right? Yes? Birchas, kos the brachas, please. But the chazal say, altia birchas hejo kalavei nefa. Even an individual who's not a kohen could be mevarek. What is a bracha, really? What does it mean when I bless you? In modern Hebrew, it's called ichulim. I send you a card, you know, happy anniversary, happy birthday. What is the halachic status or significance? What's the kiyum, we would say, of sending someone a birthday card or an anniversary card? It's tefillah. It's a prayer. Man is beseeching Almighty God to bestow blessings upon his friend, upon his parents, if he's sending a happy Father's Day card, happy Mother's Day card, for a friend, an anniversary, whatever it is. So when the people assembled at the time of Rivka, or at the time of Rus, and they recited a bracha, Vayivarech Osam, it means that they were bestowing a tefillah upon them. And that's the essence of Sheva Brachos. Of course, we can't start this tefillah without Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's the rule that operates with regard to any tefillah. You start tefillah with Bakasha. So we say Yotzer Adam, and we speak about the fact that God created man and He created the universe. Hakol Baruch Lechvodo, everything is to sing the glory of God. And then we ask Hashem, Sos Tosis V'Togel HaKarov, or we ask Hashem to bestow joy upon this couple. And that's the sixth bracha, which Rashi identifies as tefillah, which concludes with the words Mesameach Hasam V'Kal, which means we're asking, we're beseeching God to bestow simcha and atzlacha on this couple. So therefore the essence of Simchas Chasam V'Kal, which is Dibur, and we saw already in the Marsha that Dibur is identified with the kolos, the five kolos of Sheva Brachos, we could possibly say that the tefillah of Sheva Brachos is really the essence of the mitzvah of being Mesameach Chasam V'Kal. And I just want to add my personal observation. It's a pella to me. I can't understand why people don't listen to Sheva Brachos. They start schmoozing and talking. They should be answering Amen. Because in truth, the Mevarech is only a representative for the entire tzibur, everyone who's involved in the mitzvah. he's been invited, or he comes because he has a relationship to the Chassid Kala, he wants to participate in the Simcha, he wants to fulfill the mitzvah of the Sameach Chassid Kala. But that mitzvah requires Hamesha Kolos, the five Kolos, which are the five Brachos. Those are the five tefillos in which we raise our voice and ask Hashem to bestow Simcha and Atzlacha on the Zu. And now we go on to the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchem. What do? I bring in guests into my house, I invite them, I'm the host, and I stand over them, like Avraham Avinu did with the three Orchem, and I feed them, you know, I serve them head to toe, I feed them whatever I can, a lavish banquet. There's no tefillah. However, the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Hilchos Avil, and we saw it earlier on the previous page, that the mitzvah is levayas ha'orchim. He doesn't call it hachnosas orchim, but levayas ha'orchim. What does levaya mean?
To escort.
We have to escort the orchim. Why does the Rambam identify the mitzvah as escorting the orchim? Okay, they were with me for an hour, 2 hours, and now I escort them. Why is that so important? And the Rambam says, Gidola mitzvahs levayas orchim yoser me'achnasasa. It's even more important, it's a greater mitzvah to escort the orchim than to bring them into your house. And it's all based on a Mishnah in Sota. You remember the case of the Egla Ruf where they find a slain body between two cities, and we don't know who killed this individual and which city the murder took place. So there's a whole ceremony called the Egla Rufa ceremony, and at that ceremony, the Zkenim, the elders of the city, have to come and claim, Yodeinu lo shofkas adam hazeh, we're guiltless. We were not involved in any way, shape, or form in this murder. So the Mishnah says, V'chiyal al datcha, the Torah says that they have to make this declaration because we entertain the idea that the Ziknei Bezdin was shofkei damim? What does it mean? Why do they have to claim, you know, we are free and innocent of any responsibility? Ella, what's the deeper meaning here? What is that statement when they say Yadena lo shofka lo ra'inuhu ve'nachu below levaya? We didn't let him leave our environments without an escort. And the Gemara therefore goes on and says, kol eino kol she'edom lava, if you have guests in your house and you don't escort them, is ke'ilu shofech damim. It's like you're responsible for his death. So this Canaan may be implicated in this criminal death of the body of the person who was slain, because maybe they let him go without the proper escort. And a person who doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of Levaya is ke'ilu shofech damim. So what is the purpose of Levaya? Apparently it's to protect him, correct? How does it protect him?
It gives him a confidence, like you're with him, even though you're not, you believe in something.
Maybe that's psychological, but I don't know if that's going to prevent him against these warriors who attack him and kill him. So I would like to study with you the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avil, Perek Yudal and Olcha Gimel in this case, Afilu ha-malaves chaveru arba amos. He escorts him 4 cubits. Now, I don't get it. What's the significance of the 4 cubits? So I looked into the Avas Chesed, that's the, you know, the magnum opus on Chesed is the Chofetz Chaim's work, Avas Chesed, which I love to get a chance for Lineta to study with you. And he writes that, I don't understand why people are not makpid. He says that the very barest minimum, Pelesh Ala Olam Shemekilim Bazeh, that they don't escort the guests. He says, perhaps to justify that, he looks for a hatzdaka, you know, wants to matzik the people that they're not careful and meticulous about this great mitzvah, and a person who doesn't fulfill this mitzvah is kilu shofek dom. He says, perhaps, dafka bizmana, back in the day, the drachim einam esubanim, they didn't have lights, and they didn't have the signs, right, what they call it here in Israel, they call shilut, you know, v'im yita b'hem, and in those days, if you make a mistake, you make a wrong turn, is yesh takonim nechayis for listening. Avol b'mkomosenu, in our time, shadrachim yushavim, maybe we could justify this absence of kpeda, because now the roads are very sophisticated. They're paved. There's plenty of light, and there's plenty of simanim, you know, of shilut, of signs. But then he adds the following sentence. He says, "I will call there all that I presented to you." I'm just trying to find some sort of merit for the minhag that the people are not careful. Abul Khalila, he says, lift our atzmo mi mitzvahs levay legamrei. With all the explanations and justifications, heaven forbid that a person should misunderstand and come to the conclusion that he can be light and lay back about this minimum, at least the barest minimum of the mitzvah levay. Ki mea gemara mashma, it would seem from the gemara shu davar skula. Dvar skula la mislava shalo ye orelo oson baderach. Now, how many people here are familiar with the word skula? In what context have you ever come across? What do you associate with the word skula? It's usually something Kabbalistic. For example, the Hasidim adopted, you know, all types of skulas. You go to, you know, Kevin Rochel, you get the red, what's called in Yiddish, the right to Bendel, that's also skula. Correct. I know when I walked down to the chuppah, my father gave me something red, you know, put it in your pocket. All these skulas. But Rav Osai, here we're talking about the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim was not a chassid. He loved every Jew, and he was very close to the chassid. But the concept of skula seems a little bit foreign to the context, the framework of the Chofetz Chaim, and yet take a look at his language. He says, Chalila, he says, heaven forbid that we should exempt ourselves and not fulfill and implement at least the barest minimum, the four amos, for Levaya, for the Archiv. It's a Dover Skula, a Mislava, somebody that's going to magically protect the Mislava, meaning the guest, Shaloya Arlo, Asam Vedertha, nothing terrible should happen to him. And he says that's critical even in our times. I mean, here, look what happened to three boys. They got kidnapped. Achmar Litzlan, God should save them. He says that it's a Dover school. I don't know what he means. But I would like to suggest the following. And you can laugh at me if you think it's laughable. What the Chofetz Chaim has in mind here is tefillah. He used the word skula, and I'm going to try to explain why. He means it's a tefillah. That somehow, when a person does a favor for someone else, in this case the host on behalf of the guest, and he gave him a lavish meal, and he treated him well, at that particular juncture, at that particular moment in time, the tefillah of the host is very powerful. And the Chofetz Chaim says that tefillah should express itself in actions, not just in words. Which action becomes an implementation, a concrete, tangible tefillah that you can really see in front of you, you can, you know, see it on the screen, it's Livui Ha'arch. The Livui Ha'arch is itself almost a statement, not verbally, but through action. God, please protect this individual. Protect this individual from all sorts of different things. From insults, chas v'shalom, from physical harm, from loss of, you know, that he should be matzliach wherever he's going. But you know what? I think that in the case of Achnasas Arch, we should talk not only about the mitzvah, the obligation incumbent upon the host, but let's flip it around. There is a certain element of reciprocity. There's an obligation that's incumbent upon the guest vis-a-vis the Baal HaBayis, vis-a-vis the host. And that we see codified in the Braisa and in the Sefer HaManig and other places, that the Oreach has to do something, we'll see what it is in a minute, on behalf of the Baal HaBayis. Why? Why does the Oreach have to do something on behalf of the Baal HaBayis?
See the mention.
Hakaras HaTov. I mean, he has to express some sort of gratitude. Look at all, to what ends, to what extent the Baal HaBayis, the host, you know, went all out for him. Now he has to do something in return. What can he do in return? How can he express what?
He do the dishes.
Absolutely. But what we find in the Gemara Brachos is that somehow the Hakaras HaTov of the Oreach should express itself in bench, in Birkat HaMazon. And how is that? The Tosefta says that the Oreach is obligated to be mevarech the Baal HaBayis. V'achalto v'savata uberachta is a remez. Then when you eat, that you enjoy the benefits of this banquet that you that what was supplied to you by the balabayis, you can't just walk out. You have to be mevarech the balabayis. And I'm wondering, what is this bracha that the balabayis blesses, excuse me, the orach blesses the balabayis? What is it? Everyone?
One mention.
I know what it is. Yeah, but we'll get to the Yiratzon, Shelo Yovesh, and some of the whole Musa. But what is it, conceptually? Where do you classify it? How do you describe it? What name do you give it? What Kiyum HaMitzvah is it? But what aspect of it? V'haf L'Rech Mocha, in what form?
Tefillah.
Exactly. This is the overlap between V'haf L'Rech Mocha and Tefillah. I have to do for you. So in the case of the Oreach, he does a livui on behalf of the Arch, and that's a school that he shaloyar l'shutako. In the case, if we flip the table around of the Oreach, the guest, how does his love and compassion, how does his chesed on behalf of the Baal Bayis express itself? The answer is tefillah. Because bracha, which we call ichulim in modern Hebrew, is a tefillah. So forth and so on. It's not enough to be mevarech HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thank him for the food. You know, thanks for the grub. But we also have to thank the host who supplied the food. He's the Shliach HaKel and he put himself out. So I think in the case of Achnos Sarachim in a twofold way, there's a very central role that tefillah places in the mitzvah of chesed. And now we go on to the mitzvah of the dead, taking care of the dead, which is called Chesed Shel Emes. And I want to refer you to a book called Gesher HaChaim. Does anybody know who authored that book? Right, Tukhachinsky, excellent. He is one of the greatest authorities of Minhagim here in Eretz Yisrael.
It's a tongue twister.
And what does he say? We're on Nun Beis. Aaron, you probably finished the article already, but I'm going slowly. I'm on page and page. He brings a minhag. First of all, you know that there are tremendous, especially here in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, there are unbelievable minhagim that apply to this askus v'mes. I'm not even going to go into detail because, unfortunately, I lost three of my closest relatives and I went through this three times. So I'm familiar with some of them in Hugging, and they'll make your hands stay. Not for now. But the classical Minhagim are, number one, Tahara, right? We have to wash the body. Number two, there's a whole Seder in how we do the Rechitza. And then he writes the Gesher HaChaim, which is, this is a pellet to me. I never heard of such a thing. Shamis Askim V'Tahara, those who are involved in the midst of Tahara, Mispalim Avur HaMes. They should pray on behalf of the deceased.
Have a Kedisha, in case they touch the body the wrong way or hurt the body, like don't get a soul.
Right, but when you say they touch the body the wrong way, are they praying for themselves so that Hashem would be vocal then? I think not. I think they're praying on behalf of the deceased. So for example, at my father's Leviah, the Chevra Kedisha, which is called the Prushim, there are many other Chevra Kedisha, they circle the body with seven akafas. And with each hakafa, they pray to Hashem for who racham yichapirama, that Hashem should bestow kapara on the deceased. In that case, my own father. He says the yisod of tefillah is really, in this case, says Rav Tukhachinsky, bakashas mechila uslicha upedia mikol mini pironios. Unfortunately, after we die, it ain't going to be all a bowl of cherries. You know, there's a lot of, I don't want to go into detail, but it's kind of scary. So we ask on behalf of the dead, the deceased, that Hashem should have rachmanis and cut down the peronius, the suffering of the dead posthumously. And in the same sefer, with regard to kvura, he says that the seder of the Chevra Kedisha is that they should recite the following prayer, Ribono Shel Olam, Chamol, have compassion al nefesh ploni ben ploni ames, on the nefesh of this person who died. And with regard to Hazkaras Neshamos, you know that we have what's called Yizkar, which originally in the original minhag was only on Yom Kippur, but we extended it to all the Gimel Regalim. So it says in the Tanchuma in the Psikta Rabasi that the minhag is to mention the Mason on a Yizkor service. Ulevakesh aleim rachamim. My friends, we're talking about Chesed Shel Emes. We're talking about the real ultimate Chesed, true Chesed, and it requires bakashas rachamim. Shatfila mo'elis lahakel din hames. Our prayers on behalf of the dead will help alleviate their judgment on high, in the courts on high. And if you look in Sota Daf Yud Beis, you'll see it again. It would seem that the source of our minhag to recite Kel Mole Rachamim is a tefillah of Chesed Shel Emes. What can we do on behalf of the dead? We can take care of all their needs in burial, preparing them for the burial, Rechitza and Tara and the whole Seder Rechitza, but far. But beyond that, we have to pray on behalf of the dead. That's our responsibility. The mitzvah v'ahavta l'rech kamocha applies and continues to extend even beyond the death of an individual, even as far as Mason. By the way, we'll see something similar in Kibbut Avayim, that the chiyuv of Kibbut Avayim applies even after the parents are dead. And we ask Hashem for kapara for our parents. And now we come yitz to your mitzvah of Birchas Kohen, and the Sam Sofer raises the following question. I don't know if you ever had this yitz. If you daven in the shtibluch, I'm sure you'll have it. Let's say, for example, you were duchening in minyan A, the early minyan, and then on your way out, the Yisraelim in the minyan B, they say, yitz, we need a kohen, we need your bracha. So the question is, can you be mevarch again with a bracha? Wait a minute, you've already fulfilled your mitzvah. You can't do a mitzvah twice. Imagine if I would light Ner Chanukah and then again I want to do a second round and make a bracha. That's a bracha of atol. It's an Easter go.
It's to do it both Shabbos and Musa.
You're not five of your life.
Okay, so maybe each tefillah engenders its own chiyuv, and therefore you can make a bracha on each Birchas Kohanim. But here we're talking about one bracha on one Shacharis. You already davened Shacharis. You recited that bracha. You fulfilled your chiyuv of Kosa Varkas B'nei Yisrael. And now another minion comes up to you and they say, Yitz, we need you. Aaron, we need you.
You're not five of your life.
Oh, says the Chassam Sofer that Yachol Lalos Levarich Pamacheres Bi Oso Ayom B'Tzibur, and he says why? He says B'Kol Pam Shemakrivim Karban Tzibur. It's like the case of a Karban Tzibur. He says we never found that you bring a Karban Tzibur twice, and we never found that a tefillah could be repeated twice. But in the case of a Kohen who's now being mevarch for a second tzibur, he's aiding them in fulfilling their obligation, says the Chassam Sofer. And that justifies a chiyuv, that engenders a chiyuv with a bracha. Shemutal al Yisraelim lehisbarech, that the mitzvah, the obligation of Birchas Kohanim is a twofold one. It's not just limited to the Kohanim, which certainly that's explicit in the Torah, but even the mizbarchim, those who are being blessed, they have an obligation. I always thought to myself, it's a tremendous kavod to yell out the word Kohanim. You're laughing at me, right? I think that we should sell that for big bucks. Here, Max does it because he's our chief gabbai. But it's no joke, because you know what it means, Kohanim? Kohanim means that you're representing the tzibur of the Mizbarchim to ask the Kohanim to be mevarech them. Our obligation, I mean the non-Kohanim, us guys, the Israelim, is to ask the Kohanim for the bracha. That is our obligation, to seek out the bracha. The very moment we yell out Kohanim, or somebody yells out Kohanim, maybe the whole tzibur should yell out Kohanim, but one person representing the tzibur, it's our fulfillment of our obligation to ask the Kohanim for a bracha. We need the Kohanim's bracha. We are the Mizbarchim. In Ein Sham Kohanim, if there are no other Kohanim, only he who has already fulfilled his obligation, Yisa Yada V'Yavarech Kidei Lahotzi Atzibur U'Levarech Oso. Basically, the second time that the Kohen is being Mavarech in the same tefillah is only to help to facilitate the tzibur's kiyum of their obligation to be mizbarach. And that's enough to engender, because he cares about their chiyuv, and he wants to guarantee that they'll have a mitzvah of birchas kohanim, of being mizbarachim, that justifies his chiyuv in such a way that he can even repeat the bracha, which is a pellet.
There are other kohanim, second minyan, and he's walking by. Isn't he allowed to join in?
I don't know. I don't know halacha l'maisa, but I can tell you that the Chassam Sofer makes it. He stipulates a condition that there's no one else to be mevarech, because otherwise he's not fulfilling his own personal chiyuv in this tefillah, because he already fulfilled that chiyuv. Elo what? He wants to facilitate the mitzvah that's incumbent upon the tzibur. There are other kohanim to do so. If he's the last guy around, you know, they can't. How do you say legayes? They can't draft another kohen for the job. Then it falls upon him. Again, I'm not passing about it. I don't know. You'd have to research this. Maybe he could join the other kohanim as an add-on. But in such a case, I would be very nervous about that. Maybe he should hear the bracha of the kohanim say amen. I don't think he should be mavarik. But in any event, what I wanted to emphasize to you is that it comes out that there are two mitzvahs in birchas kohen. One is incumbent. This on the bottom of your page Nun Beis, going on to the top of page Nun Gimel. You can underline this, because I think this is a radical breakthrough. One is a Chovas Gavra, a personal obligation that is incumbent upon the Kohanim. And number two, there's a Chova Klapei the Tzibur. Again, I'm talking, let me backtrack a little, I didn't make this clear. There are two dimensions to the obligation of the Kohen, which expresses itself in his bracha, Shekichonim Tzosu Tzivonim. Number one is his personal obligation, which again he fulfilled in the first minyan. But he has another obligation vis-a-vis the tzibur. That's why I call Kol Yisrael a raven zebuzeh. He has to care for the tzibur. In order to facilitate the set of a bracha on behalf of the tzibur, he's going to be mevarech and fulfill his obligation vis-a-vis the tzibur, and that itself justifies the bracha that he's going to recite on the second round of Birchas Kohanim. The first obligation is Bein Adam Lemakom. It's engendered by Kosev Baruch Hu, a command in the Torah. The second obligation is Bein Adam L'Chaver, because he feels a sense of arvus, of responsibility vis-a-vis the tzibur that wants to be misbarek. It's a mitzvah of Avas Yisrael and arvus that engenders a chiyuv upon the Kohanim and allows him to be mevarech, even though as far as his personal obligation, he's already fulfilled that the first round. And what is the bracha of a kohen if not a tefillah on behalf of the tzibur? So once again, we see that v'ahavtal reach kamocha, in this case the arvus, vis-a-vis the tzibur, engenders a chovas tefillah. Tefillah becomes part of the mitzvah of v'ahavtal reach kamocha, in this case v'ahavtal tzibur kamocha. And we find in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, this we discussed at great length when we first kicked off the series on Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, that was like Yom Kippur time, that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that if Reuven sins against Shimon, then number one, there's an obligation upon Reuven to beg Mechila from Shimon, but then there's a reciprocal obligation on Shimon to ask God to bestow mechila on Reuven. That's pretty amazing. And this you'll see in a sefer called Sefer Atshuva from Rabbi Yosef Cohen. I knew him, I heard shiurim from him. And he writes in the Sefer Atshuva, which is towards the bottom of your page Nun Gimel, he says, V'ayin b'yam shel Shlomo, if you check out the Yam shel Shlomo in Yevamos, he writes that Ha'osa dover neged chavero, if somebody hurts his friend, Umefaiso, and his friend goes ahead. I mean, the one who was machnit, his friend, he goes ahead into Mimavayas. He says, Yevakesh mi menushis paul olav mochel atzmo mitzvah rabba olav lasoske. Unbelievable. There's a great mitzvah incumbent upon the person who was sinned against, meaning the victim of the crime, to be mispalel on behalf of the criminal. You remember that Avimelech confiscates, what word should I use? Not confiscates, that's not a Greek word. He absconds with Sarah, And at the end of the story, Hashem appears to him in a dream, and this and that. And then Avraham Avinu is mispalel, he prays on behalf of the perpetrator of the crime of Avimelech, that Hashem should spare him from punishment. And the Medrash has a very revealing language. It says, "Minayin shim sarach adam lechaver v'amalo chatasi." If Reuven sinned against his friend, and he says, "I've sinned against you," he admits, he confesses his crime. Shenikra chote yemeinu mochel. That Shimon, if he doesn't grant mechila when he sees that Reuven is sincere about his confession and his appeasement, then Shimon becomes the criminal. He now carries guilt. And it's based on a pasuk in Shmuel in Nach, Gamanok Khalilali Mechato, Mechadol is Palo Badchem. And the Medrash says that if him Enom is Pal Biado, Nikra Gam Chote. It's unbelievable. Who's the Chote? Not the person who perpetrated the crime, but the victim of the crime who refuses to be mispal on behalf of the Chote. And once again, we see that within the context of Einonim Chavero, there is a Chovas Tfila. And if you don't fulfill your Chovas Tfila, you are a Chote. You have sinned against the one who sinned against you. Fascinating, no? Let's go on a little bit. We've been speaking now about the Chiyuv, the obligation that's incumbent upon an individual to pray for another individual, for a chole, for an ovel, for a chasen kala in the Sheva Brachas. There's also a special chova, says the Rambam, to be mispal on behalf of the tzibur, not on behalf of an individual, but on behalf of an entire tzibur, similar to what we saw in the case of Birchas Kohanim. The Rambam writes in the third parak of Hilchas Tshuva, who forfeits his place in the world to come, a poresh midarchei tzibur. That the Rambam writes in Halacha Vav. If you fast forward to Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam writes, HaPoresh Midarkei Tzibur, even though he hasn't violated any averos, Ela Nivdal, he separates himself from the community of Israel, he doesn't join with their tzara, he doesn't integrate himself into the feelings of loss and suffering, of adversity, he doesn't integrate into the tzibur when the tzibur is fasting a communal fast. Such a person is called a poresh midarkei tzibur. Why? Because fasting is meant to be ma'orer, to waken a person up to za'aka, to crying out, to tfilos, to prayer ulischanin, and to ask Hashem with great devotion and dedication to petition God to help us, to help the tzibur get out of its sorrow. And therefore, we find that there's an obligation to pray together with the tzibur on behalf of the tzibur. It's za'aka, it's prayer. And I want to add to this on the bottom of Nun Dalet, that there's an absolute obligation incumbent upon the leaders of Israel, even beyond this, supersedes and goes beyond the chiyuv on every individual as a yachid, to worry about the needs of the individuals and the klal of the tzibur, and that expresses itself in a special chovas tefillah on behalf of the tzibur. And that's what we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu constantly gets up, stands up to petition to God on behalf of individuals, on behalf of the community of Israel. The Ramban says it on the pasuk in Parshas Pesach, says, Ki yavoi lai ha'am lidrosh. I'm sorry, Parshas Yisro. Ki yavoi lai ha'am lidrosh Elokim. He's trying to explain to Yisro why he's so overburdened with responsibility. You remember that scene over there where Yisro says, this is too much for one man? So Moshe's response is that the people come to me, lidrosh, to seek out God. Says the Ramban, what were they doing? This sounds like a Hasidish story, but this is the Ramban explaining Moshe Rabbeinu way before Hasidus. Shahaya Moshe Vispal al Choleim, that a father would come to Moshe Rabbeinu with his begging, Moshe, please help me, pray on behalf of my son who's sick. And Moshe, says the Ramban, would be Mispal avor atzibur in an Eis Tzara. For example, after the Egel, Shuv mecharon apecha minachem al arol yamecha, Moshe says, after chayt hamaraglim, slach lo, lavod hazeh, la'om hazeh, ki golo chazdecha. And over and over and over again, Moshe prays on behalf of the tzibur. And that's the special responsibility incumbent upon a leader to care for every member of his flock and, of course, the community as a whole. The Gemara in Tainis goes even beyond this. The Gemara says, Chayav Adam Litzayer Atzmo Matzibur, Afilum Eino Bechal Atzor. The Gemara is going to prove from Moshe Rabbeinu that even if you're not included in the Gzera, the evil decree of God, you're not included in the danger, your life is not in jeopardy, nevertheless, you have to be Mitzayer, you have to suffer pains of compassion as if, no, not compassion, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me out here, guys.
Sorrow?
No. What is it? Empathy? Is that what you said? Empathy. Correct, empathy. This is all about empathy. And the proof is from Moshe Rabbeinu. This is also true of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim is going to empathetically pray and recite Vidui on behalf of all Klal Yisrael. And beseech God for the kapara of Klal Yisrael, because the Kohen Gadol is the leader of all of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Makis, we're going to learn this in Mitzvah Hashem, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, with regard to those who killed the Shogeg and they went to the Eretz Miklat. The Gemara establishes that the Kohen Gadol has to pray on behalf of, excuse me, the Gemara says the following, that there was a possibility that the golem would pray that the Kohen Gadol should die, and they, you know, if, because they could only go out of the year of Miklat when the Kohen Gadol dies. And the Gemara says that tefillah sarayisa nishmas, there was a very strong potency to their tefillah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again this is explained by the Mefarshim there in Makis, is he has a complaint, so to speak. He has a claim against the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol was, in a sense, responsible for this death, this inadvertent, unintentional death to occur. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol's stature now and status is a little bit iffy. He's vulnerable to all sorts of tefillos against him. And Chova Zu Chalal Amanhigim Shall Kol Dor V'Dor, if the Kohen Gadol is guilty of not having prayed sufficiently on behalf of the Dar, this is true not just of the Kohen Gadol, but of the leaders of every single generation throughout history. And the tefillos of Yom Noroim in our time that we don't have a Kohen Gadol is the Shatz, the Shliach Tzibur, stands as a representative of the Tzibur to replace the Kohen Gadol, and he is going to be like the leader, Kaviyachol, of Knesset Yisrael at that point, to place in front of Hashem those heartfelt petitions for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And Avraham Avinu, that's the Pella, and with this we'll conclude, prays on behalf of Anshei Sdom, a tzibur of Poshim, of Rishayim, of Chotim. That's beyond our comprehension. He wants to save them from the Gzar Din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even though the Anshei Sdom themselves were not even aware of the situation, the plight that they were in, they were about to be destroyed, how much more so would someone like Avraham Avinu, a leader of Klal Yisrael, who has compassion, have an obligation to pray on behalf of Klal Yisrael? For a Ben Yisrael who knows and recognizes his sorrow, and therefore the Yisod of Mitzvah Chesed expresses itself in a unique obligation on behalf of every member of Klal Yisrael, and certainly on behalf of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, to care for their flock. And just in conclusion, I want to quote the pasuk in Mishlei. It says, "Mibsarcha al tis'alim," which means that there's a special obligation upon relatives to pray on behalf of their relatives, a father or a mother on behalf of their children. The Mishnah Berurah codifies this in Siman Mem Zayin, in which he writes that tamid tiyah tefilas ha'ava em shkura b'fim l'spal al bneim sheyu lomdei Torah. His children, and also in Volatium when he recites Leman, Lo Niga Larik, Velo Neled, Lebehola. And that's the minhag on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif to be Mavarech, the children, the Chayodim says in his Seder Otsar Tfilos. that this is a minhag of Klal Yisrael to pray on behalf of our children. We have the Tefillas Hashalah that we recite on behalf of our children. This is all a reflection of the special chesed that blood relatives have to have one to the other. That's why we recite Yizkar on behalf of parents and other relatives. This is all part of the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro that expresses itself in a Chovas Tefillah. And therefore we conclude by saying that it's a plea to each and every one of us that within the context of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro and fulfilling the mitzvah of V'ahavta L'Rech Kamoch, we should be careful to see to it that we fulfill not only Bein Adam L'Chaveiro and Chesed in the physical realm, but also in the realm of Tefillah. I just want to conclude with a little story of Reb Itzel of Blazer. And he was a Rav in a place called St. Petersburg. I think today it's called Leningrad, I think. I don't know. We'll find out from Daniel when he comes back from Leningrad. Anyway, he was a Baal Musa, and he once gave a Musa Shmuza, which he said that every midah, even a bad midah, can be used litova if we know how to channel it. So somebody raises his hand, one smart act, he says, "What do you do with the midah of kfir, of denying God?" And he says, "When an ani comes to knock on the door, don't say God will help and God will help you. Dig into your pocket and give him whatever you can." This is the nature of the mitzvah of chesed. We have to do whatever we can. We can't be yotzei our mitzvah of chesed obligation by simply dominating. But in addition to doing whatever we can, we also have to fulfill our mitzvah of avas reim by asking Hashem for rachamim, by asking the marvis lichos to grant kapar to all of us. And therefore, we conclude by quoting the Gemara in Brachos, which you'll see here on Daf Nun Zayin: Kol she'ef shelo levakesh rachim al chavero v'yeno mevakesh nikra chote chashom. We don't want to be called chotim. We have to be mevakesh rachim and petition God not only on behalf of ourselves, but on behalf of our relatives, our community, and all of Klal Yisrael, and b'zocha to live in that way of tefillah. So we fulfill both the mitzvah of tefillah v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, and also the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'rech kamocha, ken yirachzon.
Amen. We actually thank God.